This episode of That Story Show is brought to you in part by Bluehost Hosting, the official web host of the NLCast Network. $4.95 a month gets you unlimited space, unlimited domains, unlimited bandwidth. Visit thatstoryshow.com/Bluehost to sign up.
Elizabeth, come on down!
I'm Elizabeth from McAllen, Texas, and this is That Story Show. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, how you doing, folks? This is That Story Show, the show that shares... that's hard to say. The show that shares hilarious real-life stories from all over the world. This is episode 244, recorded live on July 21st, 2015, in the NLCast studio located in the heart of South City, St. Louis. I'm your host. My name is James, and with me today, as always, is Christian Sudreth. Hey, dude.
Gramsci.
Just going to keep it going.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, he wrote me some stuff today, actually, this week. So he sent me a recording of himself saying, "That's how I do." And I don't have it. I don't have it up. So maybe I should.
That's how you don't.
I think it's, I can play it. Hold on. Let's see here.
That's how I do.
He sounds way older than last time.
Yeah, he does. It's great that he's there. It's great that the middle schoolers are there for us to pick on. Let's see. Oh, just right off the top, this could easily be a backstory, but on another show that I do called Movie Beatdown, I have a co-host. His name is Paul. And the other day, this week, I get a knock on the door, and I open it up, and it's Paul. And he just turns around and shows me this gaping hole ripped in his shorts. I couldn't see anything through it, thank God. They were very saggy. So that, you know, it was just like the crotch of the pants had just risen, you know, to a normal place. So there was nothing to see, but he's like, "I just wanted to do this because I could, because you live here, and I just did this," and, you know, and I'm like, "Don't even fool me. You are trying to get on my show. You're trying to get on That Story Show." And he just turns around, he points back at his rip, and he says, "Here's your backstory." So that was pretty funny. Yeah. Cause you know, it's back and story and stuff. So,
yeah, I get it.
It's pretty good. Before we do backstories, though, I just want to say thanks to our newest patron, Robert Harrington. So, thank you so much. If I had a sound clip of people clapping and stuff, I would do that. So, I also want to say you may notice that John's not with us tonight, and he just texted me, and because I was like, "Where are you, dude?" And he says, "Crap, man, I'm so sorry. I'm at kids camp. I forgot to tell you sorry." So I tell you what, as a little added treat today, just go, if you're friends with him on Facebook, or if you're in the NLCast Network community on Facebook, just leave John a little message, a little guilt trip message about how much you missed him and how the show just wasn't right without him, and make him feel really good, but then make it really guilt-ridden at the same time. Like, "I can't believe you left us," and stuff like that. That'd be really nice.
And in the show notes, we've put his address, and if you could go egg his house, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, and if you want to threaten his children, it's fine as long as you threaten his daughters. He doesn't have any, so you can have some fun with that. So let's get right into it. That's my backstory sound effect. It's amazing. Christian, why don't you go first, man? What's something funny that's happened in the last 7 days or so?
Okay, perfect. Well, if you are an attentive listener and you learned listening last week,
I am.
You'll know that I am moving. And at this point, I have moved. So got into this new apartment complex. It's pretty nice, or a significant upgrade from where we used to live. But apparently, they have like a little like free junk like area. So it's like, you know, if someone doesn't want their couch, they'll go put it there, or their bike or what have you, they'll go put it there. I have to drive past it every day to get to work. And it's 9 out of 10 times, it's absolute garbage. The other day on Monday, so 2 days ago, Monday.
It's Monday.
Sunday. I'm sorry, this is getting real particular.
It was a different kind of stuff. It was different on that one day. All right, go ahead.
Well, it was. So I drive past it, and there's this fish tank. Ooh. And so I get out, and you can ask my wife. I love fish tanks. I always have. I just think they're really cool pieces of art, and I always wanted one to have, but they're kind of expensive to upkeep and buy fish and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I drive past it, and I see, like, oh, it's a fish tank. So I get out to look at it, and I was like, I'm going to put this in the back of my car. It's going to be great, and I'm going to, you know, go to work and then come back and set it all up, and it'll be awesome. So I look in it, and it's full of fish and water. Like, it's like it's a full fish tank.
Really? So somebody just picked it up and lugged it and set it out and said, good luck, guys.
Right. There's no filter or anything. I'm sure they took it out because it's probably the most expensive part, but it's a full fish tank. So I am thinking, perfect. This is going to be sweet. So they're by this like dumpster area. So I take it and I hide it. I hide it behind the dumpster. And I think, like, obviously I can't put a full fish tank in my car and then drive to work.
Yeah, especially with stuff in it.
Right, fish in it. You know, animal cruelty, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what I do is I take it and put it behind the dumpster, and I think, like, all right, after my shift, I'm going to come back. I'm going to figure out a way to get this into my apartment. My wife's out of the country for the week, so she won't know. And by the time she gets back, I'll have named them all, and she wouldn't dare make me get rid of them.
Not a named animal, no.
No, right, of course not. And I name them after her. Hannah Jr.
Hannah 2, Hannah 3. Best Hannah. Nice worst Hannah. Hannah. Fish-loving Hannah. You can't flush fish-loving Hannah fish.
No, definitely not. And I mean, they were like cool, nice fish too.
They were nice.
No, they were nice. I asked them. Polite. I said, are you nice? And they said,
yes.
We're fish. We can't talk. What are you talking about?
Thanks for saving us from the Florida heat.
Right. And so I go to work, and I'm thinking about these fish literally all day. I'm thinking about, okay, I'm going to put them here.
They're going to taste wonderful.
Right. I'm going to fillet them with garlic butter sauce. It'll be perfect. So I'm thinking about, okay, they're going to go here. It's going to look great. And then I get back from work, and I like speed home. And then I stop at the dumpster, and I go look. And what I had failed to think about at work is it had rained super hard, like incredibly, incredibly hard. And I think, like, the way I put it under the dumpster, the rain that was hitting the dumpster was running off into the tank. And so it overflowed, and all of the fish were on the ground, just 100% dead. And they're all still there.
It's so terrible.
And so I didn't clean it up. I'm not taking it. So there's just, and I'm pretty sure I killed them all.
It's a battlefield. Everyone's dead.
They're all floated out, and they're all like in like a pile, like they all flopped on top of each other for warmth.
Come here. Come here, Hannah. Come on, best Hannah.
And so they're all dead. And I have to drive past them everywhere. I'm so upset. I wanted them so bad.
Any future aquariums will be tainted by this memory.
Well,
you'll have to put in memory of and then name all the fish that you named.
I do have one fish now. It's just a beta fish that is, you know, that lives in like this jar, this big mason jar. And I've looked at him a couple times this past few days, just been like, what makes you so lucky? I want to throw him out there and be like, you see?
Oh, man. Life on the wrong side of the dumpster. That's all.
So it was one fish, two fish, red fish, dead fish. I'll take a picture of them if they're still there tomorrow.
I had something similar happen to me a long time ago. I was staying with this dude while I was engaged, you know, and we had an apartment, but we couldn't, you know, neither of us were living in it. But we were waiting to get married, and And this fish just kept get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It kept growing, and it would jump and open the flap on top. And so one time I heard that. I was like in a bathroom or something. I run in there, and he's flopping around on the ground. So I picked him up and threw him back in there. And I don't know why I didn't think of it. I think maybe because I just hated him at that point. You know, he's just too big. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of proud of him at the same time. I don't think I had any ill will towards him. I really don't, because it would be so easy to get rid of a fish, you know. Nobody right. judges you or anything. Not like a dog, you know.
Yeah. You know. You can't flush your dog.
Yeah, and fish don't get out and run around the neighborhood and poop in people's right. yards. So there's not a lot of interactivity outside of you and the fish. But one day I came back, and the fish is on the ground, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to pick him up, put him in there. And I reached for him, and I tried to grab him, and he was stuck.
Oh, no.
He had been there long enough to his fish slime had congealed and dried to the floor. So you're talking about not cleaning up fish. I had to clean up fish. I had to go get like a spatula and scrape his butt off of the stick floor. And I actually tried to put his rigor mortis butt back in the tank, and he just kind of floated up sideways like a sideways fish.
And you had to get tongs to get him out.
I just did it by hand at that point, dude. I was up to my elbows in dried fish particles. So, blah.
Yuck.
Yeah, but it was for the best. And
not for the fish.
And he went down the tubes. So there he goes.
Humiliating way to die.
He. But what do you do? I mean, you're not. It's not like you train them. And take them to groomers and stuff. You know, there's not a lot of, like I said, back and forth with a fish.
You know if people collect koi fish, and they breed them, and they get into like the tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. That's
what a way to spend your money.
That is a thing that people spend money on. That reminds me of my, that's a good segue into my backstory, because I got to eat dinner this week with some people that my wife works with, and her boss and her overseer. I don't know if that's a thing. She pushes rocks up a pyramid.
She's a Terminator. So, yeah.
she works in the future and comes back and forth. Sometimes she says she's going to be late, and I always laugh because I'm like, you work in the future. You can come back whenever you want, you know. But anyway, we went to this very fancy place, and I've always heard of these places that you go and you look at the menu and there's no prices on anything.
That's when you got to watch out.
And, but this wasn't that, thank God. It was a half step down. I mean, like the only difference is they put prices on there. Everything on this menu was over $25 each thing.
Sheesh. Yeah.
And so I ordered a Diet Coke. You know, thinking I would be like, okay, I'm going to be the cheap guy. I don't want to, you know, overdo it. But everybody around us is rich. Okay. I'm just going to say that they're rich people. These are people that work for an accounting firm, you know, and they're partners and stuff like that. And they've been rich so long, they don't even remember what it was like not to be. And maybe they never were not. I don't know. But it really bugged me because one of the guys parked or did a valet parking job, you know, like the boss man did. And there was an abundance of free parking just across the street from this place, a thin two-lane road, not even a highway. Jen and I parked over there, obviously. And my wife says, here he is. He's valet parking. And that just kind of stuck in my head. Well, anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm feeling like a redneck kid. I feel like a kid raised in South Georgia in a trailer. That's what I'm thinking the whole time. I'm like, there's way too many silverwares. This is way too much. Every dish they bring me, I'm like, somebody's got to clean that and put that in a dishwasher. I mean, that's just the way I think. Rich people don't think that way. And no disrespect to the rich people. But when I ordered this Diet Coke, it came out in a dang little tiny bottle of Diet Coke, and I got a soda with it, and I'm just like, or a glass of ice with it, and I'm thinking, dang it, I can't order anymore because free refills, man. That's what I was going for. But every time I order a Coke, they're gonna charge somebody in the universe $5 or $6 probably. So that kind of ruined the whole Diet Coke thing for me. Plus the fact that I didn't have any pockets to slide the bottles into, because the bottles are cool.
Yeah, right. Keepsake.
But I had water. I had a glass of water. All of us did. But I think I'm the only one that drank it. And that's how I became very intimate and very, you know, close. You don't talk about interactivity like we were with a fish. I usually, the guy that comes around and fills your water is somebody that just kind of comes and goes and he's invisible. But I, because I drank so much water, I got to know the water guy very, very well. The water guy, first of all, tried to fill my water. There was a water guy and he goes to every table and fills water. That's all he does. And he had a big pitcher and he tried to do some sort of thing like you see in Indiana Jones where people are pouring coffee and they lift the pouring thing way up high in the air. He did that. He did that with a little, he was filling my water and then he went whoop like that, but he misjudged, I guess. And the water flew over the cup and into my plate and into my menu. And it almost got onto me, and all the rich people laughed. Ha 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 ha. And they're like, yo, you need to, you know, get mad or whatever. I'm like, no, hey, man, he didn't get in my lap. And the guy's working for a living. I hope this doesn't get him fired. I just asked for another plate and everything was fine. But then, okay, I know it's taking a while, but
that's perfect.
The water guy's not just water guy, he is water guy over every kind of water possible, including ice. And I had never experienced this part. This is what the rich people are used to, is this dude went around with a little scoop and he would lean over and do a little floop with his little scoop and he would pour ice into your ice water. You know, if you didn't have any ice, he would do that. And it was like over and over and over again. And true to everything, he did the little floop and he kind of flourished at the end. And one little piece of ice flew and landed right into my hand. It was so weird.
He was the worst.
And everybody saw it. And I'm like, it fell in my hand. And all the rich people laughed. They thought that was really funny. So,
that's awesome.
But what I really want to get to is dessert. We got through dessert and I'm feeling guilty the whole time I'm eating. Man, I'm eating this food and I tried to order, you know, one of the cheapest things on the menu. It was rice and something, but it was way too expensive. And I'm just thinking all these people in Africa and all these other countries that are dying. And then it's dessert time. And you want to talk about another layer of guilt. There was a dessert that you could buy. It was called flambé, I guess. And it is I only knew that word being a poor guy because of fire. I am familiar with all kinds of fire, and I knew this was something that got caught on fire. So I was like, flambé, $25 for dessert, my homeboy. And two people at the table ordered the flambé, whatever. So
comes with a side of $21.
It comes with liquid gold and liquid nitrogen. But my wife and I shared. We split a cheesecake because we're like, hey, we're poor, but the rich guy's paying, you know. So whatevs. But so the flambé comes out, and long story short, it was a lot of liquor involved, a lot of bottles. And I was getting kind of excited because I'm like, when's the fire? You know, I just thought it would be like on TV where they light it and it burns a little bit. You know, it's that silent petrol flame, you know, and then they blow it out. And now you have some sort of dessert, right? Now they put bananas in, they put sugar in, they put liquor. And then boom, fire. There was 3 feet of fire going on.
Gosh.
I lost it. My redneck came out hard. I was like, fire, oh my God. And everybody else was all chill and stuff. And then the dude put some sort of little thing in the fire. Like he had something in his other hand that he was waving through the fire and it was making little crackles and stuff. And I'm like, he put 4th of July in the fire. And then I realized I just said he put 4th of July in the fire. Like I was 4 years old.
Witchcraft, devil magic. Fire ice cream.
And so, yeah. So it was amazing.
That's awesome. Was the food any good?
No. Every time I've ever eaten rich people food, it's been gross.
And it's always in like the smallest portions.
It's small portions. The dessert's always savory instead of sweet. And now you realize that's why, you know, rich folks are kind of bitter, I think. It's because they're eating crap food and paying, you know, through the nose for it. But Yeah, one of the ladies said that we should, she was talking to us because we were new to the area and a couple other folks were new to the area. And she said, you need to move to a transient location. And I don't know if she's ever heard of the word transient, but every time I've heard of the word transient, it's never been a good thing. It's always, so I'm imagining instantly that she's suggesting that we move to a neighborhood full of homeless hobos and drug dealers and transient people, you know, that don't have a home. But she meant something completely different. Apparently it was rich people neighborhoods where there's a lot of people moving in and out because of work is what she meant. So
that is, yeah, that's not what I would have thought at all.
Yeah.
I was thinking like ghosts.
So, transient. So I think you're thinking translucent. So on the way out, you know, the rich guy calls for his car and he's like, oh, did any of you, valet park, you know, cause I did and I'm awesome. And I said, no, I didn't. We don't really do that very often. And he's like, okay. And I said, I think it's cause I just don't like to tip. Cause I'm trying to help him not feel guilty for being rich, you know?
Right. Right.
And,
trying to help him feel validated.
And he says, oh, again, like there was, should be more for me to say. And so I said, yeah. The inner, you know, Southern boy that was raised in a trailer in South Georgia kind of just guilt trips me into not doing it. And he goes, oh, is that where you came from? And I'm like, yes, it is. My car is just across the street. I'm going to go die in it. So
your tandem bike.
I have several minorities that are going to carry me across the street. I can outdo you any day, rich man. So
that's awesome. I don't think I've ever, there've been a few times where I met someone that was like just very wealthy and, but never anything like that.
You know, you're rich when you can talk to people with your eyes closed. Yeah. Oh, James. And you got your eyes closed. Yeah. And James says, yes. So what kind of hobbies do you have? That's one of the questions that was asked to me in front of 15 rich people. And, I'm like, well,
I do a podcast. I'm going to make fun of you on later. You should listen to it.
I did. I told him I do internet broadcasting. It's called podcasting. And you could just tell through his closed eyes that he didn't understand what that was. And I said, yeah. And I draw and I do a web comic. It's like a comic, but online. And I could tell I didn't get that. And then I was like, well, why the freak not? I collect toys.
Oh, gosh.
I'm very specific. I only collect one kind of toy, is Buzz Lightyear. And oh, they knew what that was. My two-year-old loves that guy. Like, thanks. So do I.
Me and your two-year-old should hang out.
Right on the same level there. And then I made a joke about the prospector being stuck in the box and how all my characters are and how my son is too scared to go in the room because, you know, the effect that being stuck in the box for 10 years has on a toy. So they thought that was funny.
Oh, pish posh.
Pish posh, pish posh.
You should have just gone for it and said, oh, you know, like polo, like water, you know, like water polo, like just something like very rich stuff.
The water guy, I left that part out. He came back 700 times. He filled my water glass and he poured ice in it, and I just kept drinking it because I'm like, is he going to ever stop not coming? And dude, after dessert, homeboy was still coming by. People were laughing at him, making fun of him. I felt terrible.
He wants that tip. He can tell you guys are loaded.
I wanted to walk up to him and hand him like $5 and like, dude, you're like the best water guy in the world. You didn't let anything stop you. You're so tenacious.
Several failed attempts.
You spilled water on me. You threw ice in my hand. You know,
there are like three rules to being a water guy, and that's like those like the first two. Like,
no water on people, no ice on people.
And third rule is water only.
I'm glad he wasn't in charge of the flambe, because I love fire, but there's limits to that love.
That's awesome.
And it's that interactivity again. I don't want interactivity with fire. I just want to see it from a distance. All right. So anyway, that's our show. It took the whole time just to do the backstory. No, we have a few featured stories. We'll do them now. This is from Adam. He says, one day my friend and I were waiting in line at McDonald's to get food for a ride back from a camping trip.
Another rich guy.
Yeah. The guy had his eyes closed. So we're waiting in line, and this random guy, he looks about 50 or 60, he walks up to us and says, "Here, take this money." And my friends and I look at him for a second, and my friend says, "It's all right, we've got our own money." So we borderline have to argue with this guy about him keeping his money for like 2 minutes, and then he says, "My wife is sick, I have to go," and he leaves. I don't know why I imagine him saying it like Superman. "My wife is sick and I have to go." And he leaves. So my friend and I look at each other and they look at the money. Apparently they took the money. We realized that if his wife really was sick, why would he give us money? I speculated about that, and I speculated that it could have been stolen money. Oh my goodness. To this day, we still don't know why he gave us that money. So,
how much money was it?
I don't know. He didn't say. He should have said. Maybe he was trying to park his car.
That really changes the story. Yeah. He thought they were the surgeons.
Yeah, if it was just enough money to buy a cheeseburger, then yeah, that's cool. But if it was like $500.
Right, right.
You know, I don't know.
Well, I've like, you know, I don't like change. So I've gotten like 83 cents and given it to like a little kid and been like, "Hey," or like, you know, "go do whatever you do with 83 cents or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So if it was like that, cool. But if it was like, yeah, like $500, it was like in a bag. They opened it and ink got all over them.
There's blood on the money.
Oh, gosh.
It's my wife's blood. She's sick. I have to go.
So she doesn't know I took her money.
Yeah. Elizabeth, before we move on, have you ever had anybody give you money randomly? Just randomly?
Yeah, I definitely have. I'm a pastor's kid all the time.
Yeah.
It's called the Pentecostal handshake.
They slide it to you. They got it between their ring finger and their middle finger. And they just, "Here you go, son. God bless you."
I like to do that and then drop it on the floor and act like I didn't see it. And then they're like, "No, here, take it."
Oh, what? I don't know anything about this. Yeah, one time I was in front of a Coke machine and a guy had bought a Coke and I was very thirsty because I was a poor kid. And my mom was trying to fix our Pinto, okay? If you don't know what a Pinto is, then you are a blessed man. But
type of bean.
Yeah, and a type of car that had electrical problems and was known for catching on fire, which ours did eventually. But I was in front of this thing and I was just, oh, man. Want a soda so bad, but never had gotten a soda out of a machine. You know, I think they were 50 cents back then or a quarter. I can't remember. But the guy turns around and sees this poor kid standing there and he hands me the soda. And I was like, oh, and I was so excited that I ran back to share it with my siblings and told my mom about it. And she's like, "Did you thank him?" And oh, I was horror struck because no, I had not. And I ran back and he was gone.
No.
Yeah. And so when I came back and told my mom it was gone, he was gone, she said, "Well, he must have been an angel."
That's what I was going to say. The spirit of soda passed.
It was a soda angel. And soda angels are the best. If we still did recap songs, I would title this in Soda Angel.
What is the soda angel like? What's his favorite kind of soda to give?
I don't know. He gave me a Coke, so
classic.
Coke. This was pre-New Coke, so they were just Coke.
Coke.
And then Coca-Cola, if you were in the Deep South. So, yeah. All right. So Elizabeth Altenbach writes, "I have a coworker. Let's call her Loogie. Okay. Loogie loves to hate me. Therefore, in return, I like to make her question her very existence and her place in the space-time continuum." It's always great when you can do that. One day, as I walked past her, she was complaining about a sesame seed stuck in her teeth. "There's sesame seeds on my bun," she was saying as I walked past. "You have sesame seeds on your buns?" I asked. "Yes," she said. And I walked away joyously before she figured out what I had just had her admit to. Sesame seeds on her butt. Another day, I was punching back in from break exactly on time, and she decides to mess with me by telling me I was late. I explained to her what time I'd punched out for break and that I was exactly on time. "Well, you're late now," she sneered, and true enough, I was now 1 minute past my clock-in time. "Well, it's your fault, Loogie," I said, punching back in. "Everything's your fault." Then as I walked away, I added, "The world is your fault, Lukey. The world." Lukey has nightmares to this day. So
I thought when you said the second time you said punch, I thought you said, "And then I punched a loogie."
I hocked a loogie on Lukey, and all was right with the world. So these are work stories, apparently. That's what I'm getting out of this. Brittany says, "I'm a manager at a store in Texas, and I have been for..." Oh, well, first before I do that, have you ever had a loogie hocked on you?
Oh my gosh, no.
No, really? Ever? I have. And it was gross. I was in like sixth or seventh grade. It was in Boy Scouts. And there's this great trick where you go... And then you go like that behind somebody in their hair, right? And
it, oh my gosh!
And they think that you've just spit on them, right?
Okay.
But you haven't. You just blew stuff in their hair. So I did that to this guy, this kid. I came up behind him and without even pausing for breath or to even hawk anything, he took all the spit in his mouth, turned around, and spit straight in my face. And I was like, "Dude!" And why? And I can still feel it. If you've never been spit in your face, it is a fantastical feeling. And every time I see a movie where, you know, it's typically a woman spitting in a bad guy's face or something, I feel it because it is gross.
And to be honest with you, though, you deserved it.
Really?
Yeah. If I thought someone spit in my hair,
I
like
didn't
a loogie,
spit though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but if I thought you did, I don't know. I wouldn't be like, "Hey, did you spit?" Like just before I punch you in the face, I just want to confirm. You know, you don't have time for that. You spit and then you ask questions later.
Another great one is if you ever have a spray bottle, you know, like a misting spray bottle, and go ah, and spray that thing on people's necks. It's great.
I'm just going to carry one around now. That won't be weird, right?
Nope. And when you come back from the bathroom, don't dry your hands. And when you know, your girlfriend, your spouse, or boyfriend for that matter, you go up to them and you just say, "Man, I hate it when I miss the toilet," and just wipe that clean water on their arm. I usually like to shake their hand, like that double handshake, but then slide the one hand up the forearm as I'm going. All right, so you learned a little bit there, homeschoolers. All right, so here we go. Brittany says, "I'm a manager at a store in Texas, and I have been for 6 months. I've had other managerial positions, so this wasn't my first rodeo. I had to call one of our clients and let him know that his order was in, and it went to voicemail, and my words were this. Hi, Brittany, this is Brittany."
Oh gosh.
"So out of great embarrassment, I slammed the phone down. My coworker who was with me at the time started teasing me. We laughed about it for a while, and eventually I just went back to work and forgot about it. I glanced over at the phone sometime later, realized that I had not hung up properly, and the thing had been recording a message for the last 10 minutes. It caught all of my embarrassed laughter and the jokes that my coworker made at my expense. Needless to say, the callback to the customer was definitely filled with a lot of laughter from the other side." So it's a supernatural tale. That's what it is.
Lots of ghosts in this podcast.
So it got a little dark all of a sudden. So the moral of the story, she says, always slam the phone down, but make sure to leave a message so that you can write a story into that story show. That's right, dadgummit. Awesome.
A big part of my new job is leaving voicemails for people. Mm-hmm. And I've had to leave several and I messed them up all day long. I probably spent 20 minutes today like writing down, okay, this is just what you're going to say. That way I could just read it because I would stumble across my words the whole time. I would, you know, have a go, because I forget what I'm supposed to say to them.
I was leaving a voicemail one time and I was leaving it and I was kind of distracted by something and I commented on my daughter's poopy diaper or something while I was making this voicemail and I was absolutely horrified. And, thankfully I waited till the end and it had that, "Oh, you just left a message, you know, press 1 to review, press 2 to delete, press 3 to praise the Lord." So I pressed 2 and then 3. So
can I have one more backstory? It goes pretty far back. It's really short.
Yeah.
So when I was like 12 or 13, I was kind of in that stage where I thought it was funny to have like an obnoxious voicemail message, you know, like when you call people and everyone's sorry, I'm sorry, when someone calls you and you're not there and it says like, hey, this is Christian, but you know, but it's yeah, like, oh, yeah. Just kidding. So I didn't have one of those, but at the time I had we did foster care and I had a baby brother and he was crying and I recorded him. I said, look what you did. You made the baby cry. I can't believe you. Yeah. I don't ever call me again. Like, you know, just dumb 13-year-old stuff. Cause at that time, no, there was no important phone call for me to get. But then I forgot about it. And so fast forward 2 years later and I am applying for a job at a law office. Just to shred papers or whatever. And they called to tell me I got the job and then heard the voicemail of me saying, don't you ever call me again. You woke the baby up. And then I did not get the job.
Oh my gosh. No way.
Yeah, it was, that was probably the biggest piece of humble pie I've ever eaten.
Oh,
and I was just like, yep, that makes sense. Sorry guys. And then I changed it and I just went home. I was like, okay.
That's awesome. When my wife, she wasn't my wife yet. We were living in Macon. I was in one place. She was living somewhere else and she was going to college and I needed to get a job. And I really, really, really wanted this job I'd applied to at a t-shirt shop. Cause I was going to at least, you know, a quarter of the job get to draw for a living, you know, like claim some sort of art as a living. The rest of the time would be spent cleaning screens and printing, you know, learning to print t-shirts. So, actually, yeah, yeah. So anyway, they are going to call me, but I was on the phone with this girl from church and I was doing this stupid redneck voice. I'm like, hey, yeah, what are you doing, girl? You know, on and on. All right, I'll call you back later. And she hung up and the phone rang again. And I'm like, hey, what's up?
Oh, no.
Hi. Yeah, this is Bill from Making Tees. And we just want to, you know, is James there? And I couldn't change the voice. I couldn't. I was committed. So I'm like, James. Nope, he must have stepped out. Can I take a message for him? And I did. I took a message for him in that voice. I was like, all right, I am calling right back then. Okay, all right, bye. You know, and then called back. I waited a few minutes and then called back in my straightest voice ever. And I got the job, so I didn't.
Hello, this is James. Hi. I heard you called me.
You need a professional, don't you? I'm him. Not that other guy. Well, they never asked me, thank God, about the other guy than my roommate, my idiot roommate, redneck. So it worked out good.
That's funny. Is this the company you keep?
You know, we're a t-shirt shop. We have standards.
This is the most prestigious t-shirt company.
All we do is print college drunken party shirts. So we have nice standards. Anyway, it was great. I worked there for like 5 years. So, Robert Harrington, this is our final story for this evening. So I was at Target a few days ago and have you noticed a theme, by the way, all these, waiting in lines or working at places, you know, he says, I was there a few days ago. I was behind a woman checking out. The cashier was a nice woman who was very friendly. She and the customer chatted briefly while she was ringing up the purchases. The customer was also in a friendly mood. And so when the transaction was almost over, the customer said, oh, and congratulations. The cashier looked puzzled and said, thank you. Wait, what? And the customer replied, the Supreme Court decision. Now the cashier had very short, close cropped hair and wore no makeup. At the customer's congratulations, the cashier just said, oh, right. Yeah, that's something else, isn't it? And they both smiled and the customer walked away looking like she had done her good deed for the day. I moved in and began my transaction. The cashier once again said, as friendly as before, she greeted me. Hi, how's your day? And I replied, I'm doing fine. How are you? And she responded, fine. That woman thinks I'm gay. So there it is. That's his story.
What an awkward thing.
Yeah, I realized that that's just not something that you should assume. It's like a pregnancy, I guess. You know, you don't say, you know, congratulations. That's where I thought the story was going. Was that, you know, oh, that baby right there, that big old belly you got. you don't do that. And I think that's going to become one of the things these days is you just don't assume. You can't assume. You don't do that with race, you know. You can't just go up and start talking to somebody like they're, you know, because it's obvious, right?
Right.
Gender, not so much sometimes, you know. You just play it safe. Orientation, I don't know. I don't think that's something you can assume. So
my dad is the worst at gender. He if it's ambiguous at all, he like will stumble over it so much. It's the funniest thing because he's trying so hard to be polite and he can't decide.
Is he trying to find out? Does he drop little hints and stuff in?
I think what happens is he says, so let's just say it's a female that looks, you know, a little, might be a male. He'll be like, oh, thank you so much, sir. And he just can't, you know, he's not thinking anything negative at all. He just can't decide, am I going to guess what they want to be called? Or if it's not just what they are. So he's so funny to watch stumble over it.
When I was doing children's ministry, the same thing. There's this one boy, and it was a boy, but he had pigtails. He was a little black kid. And he had just what, you know, typically little black girls have, you know, pigtails, you know, tightly pulled and the bows. He didn't have beads and stuff like that, but they stuck up, you know. And I'm not talking about like Coolio, where it was like you could tell he was still a dude. This kid was, you know, 7 or 8 years old, so he's still in the zone there where you could go, just a hairdo can change everything. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while, and I became a defender once I figured it out. Of this kid. So if somebody's going, what are you? You're a boy. And I was like, here's a boy. And I would get mad on his behalf, especially at kids camp when there was like tons of kids were like, why are you swimming with us? Cause he's a boy. Can't you tell? You know, but
that's a lot funnier now that I've Googled who Coolio is.
Oh man. I forgot about our age difference. Did you see his hair?
Oh wait, is he?
I don't know. He's probably okay. P. Diddy or something now. He probably goes by a totally different name. Either that or he's dead. Musicians.
No, he's alive.
Okay, good. I think he did Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah, he did. Okay, so I know his voice.
Yeah, good deal.
He also has a web series called Cooking with Coolio, and he has released a cookbook.
No way.
This episode of That Story Show is brought to you by Cooking with Coolio.
Cooking with Coolio. Oh, I guess that's it for today then. Wow. It's all right. Well, guys, if you have any stories that you'd like to send, we'd love to hear them. You can send your hilarious true life stories in text or audio, you know, through email or whatever. To find out how, visit the Submit a Story page on thatstoryshow.com. That would be great. And I hope you enjoyed the show. One of the ways you can show your appreciation is by joining our Patreons, our patrons, and submit and help the show via Patreon for just $1 a show. Visit thatstoryshow.com/donate today. All right, that's our show for this week. Thanks for listening. Visit us online at thatstoryshow.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Join the NLCast Network community on Facebook at nlcast.com/group. Review the show in iTunes or wherever you found us. That helps us a lot. Thanks to our Patreon backers, Rob Gobers for the theme music, our spouses for letting us record, our story contributors, and everyone who forgot to tell me they weren't going to be here. See how that worked? And all of you who listen. Remember, when you're telling that funny life story, tell it like nobody's listening. We'll see you guys next time right here on That Story Show. And bonus content people, Patreons, don't forget to listen. Right there at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. Peace.
Visit nlcast.com for other great NLCast Network shows.